guys. Welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
I'm Amber.
And today we have a very special guest, Becky Eichema. I did it.
You nailed it.
Yes, from Darling Confessions of a former megachurch singer podcast. All right. Well, I'm so glad you had time to jump on our podcast
today. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
So let's hear a little bit about you, where you come from, yeah. Your background, what you do, a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah.
And all that.
Great. You got it. All right. So my name is Becky Eichema. Ashley, you nailed it. It's the hardest last name ever. I was born Becky Johnson. You can't get more simple than that. And I married this amazing man with a crazy last name. But anyway, I hail from the Midwest. I was born and raised in the Midwest and got to serve in a whole bunch of different types of churches. But I'd say one of the most formative places of honing my skills, my craft, is through a time at a mega church that I served for a long while. And now I'm out in Denver with my two kids, my husband, and got to serve as a worship pastor at a church out here for a while and really kind of take what I learned, the how to's and the how not to's from a big stage, and take it to this like really sweet community that was just starting out. And I'm really grateful for that time. And now I serve as a coach of other worship leaders. I help interim in different churches when they have needs. I come alongside churches who have open positions right now through my work with Slingshot Group. But really, I started this podcast, Darling Confessions of a Former Megachurch Singer, because I felt like there were so many things that I experienced in this like bubble. It felt like being in a fishbowl. Really unique situation. And whenever I was in that time, I felt like, gosh, I'm experiencing things where I kind of feel crazy and I don't know what to make of this. And here now, having a good long chunk removed from that, it's making me go, oh, I think there are some really good lessons here that we can glean from. I think there's some healthy, like yellow flags we can wave in the air and go, hey, caution. How can we create better, healthier cultures for those who want to continue this thing called church into the future? So that's what my podcast is devoted to. I'm sharing stories from my own life, my own journey in big churches and small churches, and then saying, okay, how do we do this better for the next generations?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
As a vocalist who has done, you know, worship here and there, definitely appreciate that. Is it niche or niche? Niche?
Yeah. I never know. It goes either way, I think.
I appreciate that niche, whatever, of a podcast, you know, because you do feel like, well, is it me? Am I like in my own head about this? Mm-hmm. We have, Amber and I have gone to, not a mega church. We kind of said like a wannabe.
It was a wannabe mega church for sure.
Wannabe mega church.
Okay.
Like they definitely had a goal of what they wanted to be, a certain vision, and definitely experienced, you know, a lot of hurt in those very early formative years. You know, for me, I would say, you know, we've mentioned it before. We like dedicated like two whole episodes of church hurt for one specific church. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
definitely like I think when me and Amber did we did one mission trip together, we joined with Calvary Chapel Church Planning Missions and we'd go to Russia, and they started like bringing bands out, like whether it was an actual band within their church or they would put together one with people from the worship team. And I kind of just jumped in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have like a mime group or like doing skits. Amber was not a mime. I just want to put that out there. She was not a mime. She was not a mime.
It was not.
I would pay to see that. That'd be great, Amber. Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween is coming up. Maybe she can, you know, make your dreams come true. <There you go. laughs> I'm surprised you never did that. Jump in there.
I've always found it intriguing.
I think she's a little shy. She's a little shy about that. She was do like more yeah. like she was my personal hairstylist on that trip. But, you know, so like I sang a few times out there, whether it was like they kind of put me with somebody from their team, just like did a song or two, you know, in that capacity. And then it, and then when we started bringing our own people over, I did a couple of songs. And by the next following trip, the guy who was the guitarist, he wasn't leading the trip or anything, you know, just like, you know, he made yeah. himself in charge of the band. He decided that he would go
yeah.
Through to the actual worship leader and worship team or whatever and said, hey, we should kind of say that if you want to be on, you know, with the band on these mission trips, that you should audition first, which is not abnormal to join the worship team, but they now wanted to force me to audition.
Right, right.
To then sing in the future on the trips.
Okay. Okay. When you look at that, was that helpful? It was clearly formative in some way, or did it feel like, hey, why do we have such a high bar for a mission trip? How did it make you feel?
I think in high school, definitely felt a little blindsided and a little like, why? Mm-hmm. It felt more like this particular person was trying to control.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what he would have against me. I mean, the last time I did like mess up on words, but he picked a song that like had a million verses. The Wondrous Cross or the Wonderful Cross with a million verses.
Mm.
It's pretty easy to, yeah. you know, but I don't like, that's a very easy fix of like, let's make sure we have the lyrics up there and whatnot. Like, not like you should audition.
Yeah.
And so it definitely made me question, you know, my talent, my value, my worth, that I am not. So yeah. my dad was like, you should be grandfathered in. You've already been singing. Not to mention all the people already had heard me sing on the worship team staff, but they were like, no, you should audition. So I didn't audition and I didn't get to sing after that. So, and I think like for the youth group worship team, I was, to my knowledge, I was kicked out of the worship team because I couldn't harmonize.
Okay. Okay. So here's my question. And one of the things that leaders will sometimes do that I'm going to get on a soapbox for a second is I think those who are in charge of ministries have a responsibility to help either grow and develop the people that want to be a part of it or to help them find a really great serving fit for them. And so my question to you is, did this person, were they willing to come alongside you and teach you how to sing harmony?
No. I mean, in the beginning, it was like, because back then, you know, obviously we didn't have like how it is now where you get to have like, what is it called? The confidence
monitor. I love it. It's such
a confidence monitor. Like we just have the lyrics here, you know, yeah. you didn't have any inner ears. Mm-hmm. You had all your one speaker. I think that he brought his wife along who was really good at harmonizing and she would kind of do it with me. But like, I think that individuals kind of, they learn differently and kind of knowing how they learn and it was kind of like a one and done, like, oh, you couldn't get it. So you're out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm so sorry that happened to you, Ashley, because it's, again, it's the responsibility of a leader to say, okay, so Ashley has clear talent here. Now, how do I help? If what I need in out of her is the ability to sing harmony or melody, it's my responsibility to come alongside her and go, hey, let me teach you the Nashville number system. Let me teach you how to find the third or the fifth below of a melody. Just those basic things for you to even like be working on so that you are ready to go for whatever their expectation was. Right? Just my words.
Because I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay. Great. Yeah.
No, like, but that should show like, I am a vocalist. I am in my 30s. Never Never heard any of those things.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know what a confidence monitor was. You should see me at worship trying to struggle, like trying to put my ears in. I'm like, how?
Yeah, I hear it. It's like,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And people who are listening right now might be like, what are you talking about? So ears, if you're hearing,
I mean, look at Amber's face. She's probably like,
yeah. So ears are like, imagine anybody who's listening right now. It's like the big headphones that we wear, or they're like AirPods, but what you're hearing in your ears are the rest of the band. It's the click. It's the metronome. It's keeping everybody together. It's all those things. But you're right, Ashley. It's like, there's like, that's kind of this big term, discipleship. Discipleship 101 is like, hey, mm-hmm. Jesus says, like, walk with me, learn from me. I'll show you the way. It's that. It's a leader saying, hey, I'm going to show you, like, how you get comfortable with your ears. How do you hear what you need to hear? How to, vocal mic technique, like how to hold your mic in a way that, you know, that you can mm-hmm. get the sound out that you need. Yeah. Thank God for YouTube. I tell you, like, there's so many, like, basic 101, help me learn how to harmonize, help me learn music theory these days. I'm just so grateful that there's resources I can send to the worship leaders I'm coaching and the vocalists, like, get started here. And then we're going to talk about it next week. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, maybe they're just, this just wasn't a thing, you know, 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I already said my age, so I guess we'll just throw that out there, 20-something years ago. But clearly, these things aren't really, you know, being fixed. I know Amber yeah. has some stories. I'm putting you on the spot.
So first of all, I guess from being an outsider looking in, my first question is, at what point did it go from being a worship team to being a performance?
Yeah.
Like, that's my biggest thing that drives me nuts, is that they treat it like it's a band, it's a concert. It's not. This is worship. Get up there and worship. Yeah. That should be the number one priority. And at so many churches, you sit back and you see it's this big spectacle now. Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of thoughts as to why. I think one is, I think the heart, the purity of heart is, we want to cultivate a space that's inspiring. So whether or not you're like this first time ever walking into a church, or you've been going to a church for 20 years, we want to be a place that inspires. But that then becomes like, if that becomes the focus over, we want to offer God a pure offering of our thanks, our gratitude through song,
right.
Which is like what I call like musical worship, then it's off. Like, I imagine it's so much like a balance beam. So I remember when I was in college and I had been a singer-songwriter for a long time, had been writing my songs, playing in coffee shops as a kid and all that. And the first time I was given an opportunity to lead worship was at my college chapel on a Wednesday morning. And I remember getting up there with my bright blue Dean guitar. And it's like the Lord was like, okay, here's your moment. This is not about performance. This is offering your worship to me. And it straight up, I pictured a balance beam in front of me. It was like, am I going to go this way and make this about a great delivery, a great performance? Or am I going to make this about pastoring the people through worship? So I think we got to get back to that heart of what it's about. And something can be inspiring, and it can draw attention to the people on stage, or something can be inspiring. You can walk away going, I just had an encounter with the living God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of started that way. I think since we, you know, our wannabe mega church, like they definitely started having like a lot of set design.
Okay.
You know? And that was kind of something we're like, oh, well, this is the norm. This is the standard for all churches. That this is what we do now. And then we started having like a college age group. And then that was a completely different experience. The lights were off, you know, they had like more than that felt more like a concert. Doesn't bother me as much with the lights off. I feel like that's a lot easier to focus on what you're saying, how you're worshiping. Right. It connects, it makes it more intimate with, you know, you connecting to the music, you connecting with the lyrics and, you know, just, it's a whole experience. But that was definitely something that must have been like right when it started happening. Cause I do remember like boring worship time, lights are on and like nothing, like it's just, you know, and then we kind of like,
it's uninspiring.
And then we just start like, oh, now there's like a set design. Oh, and then they even started having like, I think during the college group, they started having like artists. Do you remember this, Amber? Artists on stage, like painting during worship or during the sermon. And you're like, is it distracting? Is it cool? Like what, like, you're just like, oh, it was like it was a thing, you know, I mean, you want to encourage other artists and like, and how they can use that to worship. Yeah. So it's weird. It is a balancing act on that.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, I think one of the things that is a huge disservice that churches do is they look to a quote unquote successful church, a church that has notoriety, a church that is maybe a larger church with a big budget. And every other church goes, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. And they stop focusing on their cultural context. Now, who has God made this church to be about? It doesn't matter anymore. Our eyes are fixed on the bigness, the what's inspiring, what's bringing all the people. And my biggest call is like, how do we, like, we can learn, you know, I can learn from like the amazing fashionistas who are the hosts of this podcast right now. But if what you're wearing, if I try and just become a carbon copy of you two, I'm going to look like a fool because it's not true of the context of who I am, right? So it's the same thing with our churches. It's like, you know, some churches, like they are in a, I've led worship before in a church in the Michigan area that is straight up in a warehouse, nothing fancy. Their stage, if you will, like is straight up in the center and it's church in the round. And then they have these beautiful communion stations where they receive communion each week and it's all focused in and it's perfect for who they are and what they're doing. Now, if they tried to replicate what we would see in a mega church stage with the moving lights and the haze and all the extra additional tracks being pumped out, it'd be like wearing something that is completely not you and everybody sees it and everybody knows it. So I think there's a responsibility for churches to not only just like, you can be inspired by the big, but don't say like, oh, because they're succeeding at that in that way, I'm supposed to do it that way too. No. Who's God made you to be? Yeah. That's where we need to focus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is so true. And thank you for confirming the thoughts of, I've always thought that at least in the worship side of it, that, you know, you have to be authentic and I don't necessarily like to see, you know, people up on stage and it's so big and theatrical that you're like, is this a show? And not that it's like super distracting visually, but it's distracting because you're like, I'm already thinking those thoughts now of you're, it's not genuine. It doesn't line up. And then it's just like, well, now I don't know what to sing or how to, like, I can't even look at you now because, now I've had those thoughts I personally, I want to be my most authentic self up there. I'm not very, And Amber says I'm shy.
She's shy. When all eyes are on her, she's shy. Absolutely.
Yes, I get wicked stage fright. Yeah. But it's like, I also don't like, I'm not like super big. And I like to use this as an example. Adele does not move a lot on stage. And she doesn't need, you know, she doesn't need to. You know, like you don't need all of the fluff necessarily to get your point across for people to enjoy a show, you know? We're not going to be all boy banders, you know?
Yeah.
I'm dancing right now.
I know. It's true. It's so true. You guys, she's doing motions for those of you who can't see. Yeah. Boy band. I love it. We're not going to be Backstreet Boys. We're not going to be NSYNC.
NSYNC is great, though. Can we all just admit that?
Yes. 98 degrees. Nick Lachey all the way.
98 degrees. Yeah. Boys to Men. Come on.
98 degrees. No. you were like, I'm looking for men, not boys. That's what 98 degrees was there for. They're like, enough. Literally, they came out straight out the gate with no shirts on, super muscles, and I'm like, I'm in sixth grade.
Yeah. And can I ask, was that inspiring?
No, honestly, no. NSYNC has my heart through and through. Sorry.
Amazing. It's awesome.
No, it was
so great.
I don't inspiring for a sixth. My sister really loved 98 degrees. She's older. Oh man. Awesome. Yeah. Amber, what other stories do you have? Cause from your brother, I mean, I know he's not on here, but you've heard a lot of from the tech side of things. Hmm.
As far as the tech side, it's just more of just in general working within a church and being promised certain things and being lied to and treated a certain way. It starts to sour you in your relationship with God and the church. And so with being, he went to the church Ashley and I went to, he worked there for a very long time and he ended up leaving and going to Northern California and finding a church up there. And he was already dealing with trying to heal from the first church when he found another one that he thought he was safe in. And the same thing ended up happening. They just were not very kind to him. And he finally said, okay, I need a break. I need a mental break. So they let him take a sabbatical. Yeah. They're like, you know what? Go get a little counseling, get some healing done. We're totally behind you 100%. We support you, which we all thought was amazing. Until a week before he was supposed to come back from his sabbatical and the pastor let him know, hey, we gave your spot away. We gave your position away. There's no more position for you. So then here comes more church hurt, right? And so now to this day, my brother's like, that's it. I'm done because if I continue down this road, I'm just going to continue to get hurt and I'll lose my relationship and how I feel about everything. And so he left to protect himself, and it's just, it was a hard road for him.
Yeah. Man, that's so rough. And I get so righteously angry about things like that, where it's like the church has an even greater responsibility to shepherd and pastor people well, not just the congregation, but your staff. How are you being Jesus to your staff? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the point that you were saying, Amber, I say this to some vocalists that I work with when I coach them for a season. I'll say, hey, if stuff is getting in your head and like church hurt is starting, I want you to know that Jesus cares way more about you and your heart than he does your gift. And your gift matters. He wants your heart first. And if something is causing a rift there, sometimes the best thing to do is to say, okay, I need to take a breather. I need to take a little bit of a break from serving on the worship team or serving on the production team, or I need to reassess. And I'll be praying that somehow there's fruit that comes of it. But gosh, that stinks.
Yeah, it was just so heartbreaking because that's where his passion was for the longest. And starting out at, what was it, 16, 17, when he started on the first production team, And just, it's so sad because they put you in this position, make you feel comfortable, and then the church doesn't help you go anywhere else with that. Like, he felt kind of stuck. Like, now all I can do is work within a church. And it was just, it's sad.
Yeah, because now he doesn't really have any other, I mean, he could probably, I don't know. I don't know how you turn that around into, I would say, civilian like skills, you know, because my husband's in the Army. So it's kind of a same type of thing. Like, you have your one job and it's very specific, but it doesn't translate into the civilian world when you get out.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what something he struggled with for this last year. And finally, he's somewhere where he feels happy. He feels like he gets to learn a new trade. But he tried the Amazon thing. He tried all the things and just wasn't for him. So right now he's in that stage of life of doing what God wants for him and figuring that out. So it's just, it's heartbreaking to see.
Yeah. It is. And that's a really good point. A lot of people leave with a degree in I don't know what you would even call it, like church studies, you know, worship ministry or production ministry. And then their whole internship has been in that world. And then all their work has been in that world. You know what happens to a lot of senior pastors who leave the ministry? Many become either realtors or car dealers.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's some.
That is so true, because one of our youth pastors, he was a car salesman.
Yeah. So there's some overlap, some intersection of some of those skills that made them really great.
Right.
Lead pastors, teaching pastors, senior pastors that intersect with the ability to inspire, cast vision, encourage forward. And you see that then in real estate, car dealership.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I would think of like more of the negative aspect of like, this person's really good at selling something.
Yeah.
But I like how you're like, inspire.
I'm always like, glass half full.
I'm like, ooh, that doesn't look well.
Yeah. But same thing with a worship leader. You think about that, like a person who's only lived in the worship world. You know, I remember going through a real rough season at a church back in the Midwest that I was working at. And it was a church where it was highly complementarian, which means there were a number of rules and regulations about women, what women could and couldn't do. And the glass ceiling kept getting lower and lower and lower. And so my husband and I, like, we wrestled with it. And I was like, I can't thrive here anymore. I looked for nanny positions and I looked at being a barista at Starbucks because I was like, who's going to take me?
Right.
Who, like, how can I use these skills of mine? I love Jesus, but I am being suffocated.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just so interesting. Amber, it's just when you talk about your brother's path, like, There are things that we can do with those skills from ministry,
right.
But sometimes it's hard to see because it's almost like the church says, you know, well, we're it or nothing
right.
else. So our identity can get wrapped up in that in an unhealthy way. But there is life on the other side if it's not healthy for a person to work in ministry for a season.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you said he started at 16 and 17.
16, 17,
man.
I mean, those are formative years again.
They are.
You know, and it's just, it almost feels like you want to encourage, you know, because Amber has, you know, 17-year-old son. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she has skills in photography and she's been helping doing it at youth. And I want to encourage her to use her talents for that, but then you kind of like, but you don't want your kid to get taken advantage of and to deal with any kind of church hurt at this age.
Because it can last
it can last you your entire lifetime. And then you bring that to every place that you go to.
I mean, I'm such a proponent for therapy. I mean, I'm just going to put that out there. Like, without therapy, I believe they have such a gift. They have such a calling. If you can find the right one that helps you along, gosh, to unearth those things, to be able to bring them out of the dirt and like you know, lay them out and say, okay, I got to work through right. these things so that I can move forward. And you never forget what happened, mm-hmm. but it's like, okay, I have a box. I have a context for what that was. I'm going to move forward. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For yeah. sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's just unfortunate because it happens to a lot more people mm-hmm. than we realize.
Yeah.
Or that it's still happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that, like, unfortunately, now we're in this era of, you know, deconstructing Christianity now, because there's been so much church hurt over a huge span of years.
Yeah.
That you're finding way more people than you thought. You're like, oh yeah, I've been hurt by this church, or I've been hurt by this church, or I've been hurt by several churches.
Yeah.
And it's a constant reminder of mm-hmm. that it should not have anything to do with your personal relationship with God. It's literally you have to remind yourself daily that people are people. Don't villainize them.
Right.
You know, and it can be so easy to fall into that trap. You know, I've done it myself. Yeah. Even, you know, like, it's, you have to find the, you know, the human piece of them so that you can take that and separate them. Otherwise, you know, you'll leave church, and then you'll eventually just leave God.
Yeah. 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 I'll speak to that a little bit too. Yeah. I think we're seeing a lot of that. This is an era of asking the questions that we didn't know we were allowed to ask. At least I will come to the title of my podcast, Darling. I was a little darling. I did as I was told. I listened. I colored in the lines. I never questioned. I didn't question things until I was in seminary. In my first my first day of class, the teacher said, okay, I'm assigning this book. You're going to read the first two chapters. We're going to come back tomorrow, and I want you to tell me one thing you agree with and one thing you disagree with. And here I am at like mid-20s. I was like, what? We're allowed to question? So I think we're in this era of like asking the questions that we didn't know we were allowed to ask. But I think one of the healthy parts of the cycle of deconstruction is then the reconstruction. Okay, when the floorboards of everything have fallen down and I have like picked it apart, I've peeled the orange, then you're looking at it and you're going, okay, God, show me here what is true, what is real, what do I know for sure to be? Let's start there. Let's start at the foundation. And then do the work to reconstruct in a way that as you're praying, like, okay, God, show me here what's true. So I think so often we do the work of leaving it all behind, and then we just walk in the other way and we don't address it. But there's still something here that's beautiful that needs to be addressed and cultivated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just my words. Everyone has their own journey.
I love it.
I think that is also a struggle, though, because at least for me personally, I fight with like, is this just in my head? Or is God have me here to learn something that I need to stay to learn? Or am I being used as for someone else to learn something? And so I'm like, well, which one is it? Which one is it? Like, do I walk away? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many aspects to it. And it's a constant struggle. You know, I wish it was so easy, cut and dry. Like, well, you know, this didn't work out. Peace out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. When you're living in it and you're like, should I stay or should I go?
And then that song's in your head.
Yeah, it's tricky. I know. It's a great song. So if you have a song in your head. Totally. I've been there before. Oh man, that's a journey, right? And like, we're never, there's always things to to reassess and go, okay, am I supposed to stay in this friendship? Am I supposed to stay in this work? Am I supposed to stay in this thing, whatever it is, mm-hmm. or go? Yeah, there was I listened to some interview. I don't remember the name of the person, but they were from Red Rocks Worship down here in the Colorado area. And they said, I follow peace. When I don't know if I'm supposed to do something or not, I just follow peace. Like, where do I feel like God's peace, God's shalom is leading me? And I'm like, oh yeah, if ever there's times where I'm just not sure, I'm going to try and find the peace. Is there peace in leaving? Is there peace in staying? Is there peace in tweaking what's happening? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does, you know, with the remainder of our time, how does worship and that ministry, how do we compare and contrast from all other ministries within the church? Because it is so different. Yeah. And you're dealing with a lot of people's identities are wrapped up in their talents because that's just like when you're dealing with an artist, you know, vocalist or guitarist or whatever, you're dealing with, you know, it's part of who they are. And, you know, you can have egos, you can have hurt feelings, and like, it's a hard thing to navigate through versus like children's ministry. And it's just hard to get volunteers because people don't want to take care of kids or change diapers or things like that. Or they don't want to be in the front and like welcome people or like, how, like, it's so different.
Yeah.
What is your take on that?
Yeah, it is different. Yeah, you nailed it, Ashley. It's very different. And I bet there are aspects of all different ministries, communications, marketing, children's, that would say, like, this is why we're different. But for worship and production, you know, you have eyes on you. Like, you have the eyes of the congregation, of the community. If you're in a space where it's like a stage, okay, with eyes facing one direction, they're looking at those of you on stage. And then we are hoping that people like see us, and then it points up to God, or, you know, wherever. I believe God is in the room, so it's not necessarily up, but you know what I mean? It's like, how do we inspire through the vessel of who we are? I also believe there is some level of spiritual attack that comes from those who are on platform, on stage, who are visible. I think there's also like an idolization of those who are on a stage. And then there's a pressure put on those people to be a certain way, to answer a certain way, to look a certain way. So I think, 100%, it's kind of a different beast. And what we have to do is like soak ourselves in prayer. We have to examine our hearts. God, am I doing this for the right motive? Is there any part of me that is like looking up at the screen and maybe seeing my face and going, yeah, this is great. Okay. Check the spirit. Yeah. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And have you sensed that on worship team, like being on stage, Ashley? Well, and Amber, so you do hosting. Is that true? Do you host at your church sometimes?
No, I do greeting.
Greeting. Okay. So you're in the greeting ministry.
Yeah. So just the welcome team. Great. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh man. That's so important. Oh, that's awesome. So Ashley, for you,
I love being
on stage, like, do you feel ever that like, I don't know, like a tension of, are there moments where I'm making this about me rather than God? I know I struggle with that sometimes, if I'm honest.
I mean, that pressure has definitely kept me from even like trying to be on a worship team, because I feel like you are, especially like no matter what, big or small church, like, people are going to know you, know your face, know your name potentially.
Yeah.
And your home life now has to match up with this idea that they have of you. I think it's the same with like pastors or even pastors' wives. Like, you have to fit this idea that they have of who you should be. And that kind of pressure is definitely like, I don't know if I can handle that. Like, I don't know if I can deal with like, oh, well,
yeah,
you know, you're on the worship team, but not that I drink, but I just saw you drinking and getting drunk. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, it feels mm-hmm. very constricting.
Yeah.
With that said, what is your opinion? Because I mentioned this to Amber yeah. because she lives in Nashville. Yeah. There's a lot of like real artists, singers, songwriters.
Every corner, everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
What is every corner? Yeah. So I asked her, I was like, do you think that celebrities that may go to the church who we know sing, we all know they sing, do they specifically not join the worship team because they don't want to be a distraction, or are they not allowed to join the worship team because it would be a distraction?
Mm.
What is your opinion on actual singers? Because I've seen like Holland, she has sang, I think she's sang for her worship team in her church. I think she's in Oklahoma, you know, but what is your opinion on if they should or should not, or if that is a real yeah. thing?
Yeah, I think if God has given somebody a gift, regardless of platform or position or notoriety, they ought to use that gift for the Lord. If they're being called into worship ministry, there are a lot of churches in Oklahoma, I think in Kansas City too, and then in Nashville for sure, where there are some, like, let's say formerly like Christian artists, contemporary Christian music artists who have now ventured into the realm of worship. And that's kind of become its own stream. But I think so long as that person's heart is in a place where it's like, this isn't about me, this isn't about, yeah, the platform that I have as an artist, this is my offering of worship to God, and I am going to pastor the people through my musical offering, I think 100% they should be a part of it. And what a cool example would that be for a church to say, like, oh yeah, Lincoln Brewster is my, you know, worship pastor. Natalie Grant is my worship pastor. But it's not about them being that. It's like they're just a normal person. They're a part of this community that we call home. Yeah, I think 100%. I think it's about the posture right. of your heart. Yeah.
Do you think that there is it within the church there might be, what do you call it? Like it's not like an ism, like not racism or sexism. Like, what do you call that? Like some kind of discriminatory toward, you know, if you do have an artist who shows up and they're like, I'd love to be on the worship team. Do you like, okay, but we'll keep you like in the back, or we'll like keep you like use you sparingly. So it doesn't look like we're, you know, because you are out there doing this for real that,
yeah,
you know, we're not like showing favoritism or anything like that. Do you think that is?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think it's important to have equality on a worship team. And, you know, if there's somebody who's a famous singer, let's say, and they love Jesus and they want to use their gift when they're not on the road, maybe they audition for the worship team just like everybody else. Maybe they go through the same process as everyone else to be a part of it. I think that's one way of saying, hey, we're all equals here. And some of us have gifts that are a little bit more visible to people, and some of us don't. I mean, I bet, Amber, you know, if you go on any corner in Nashville, I mean, you are hearing like the best of the best singers like sing on the street for pennies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all just trying to make it.
They are. I would say in this conversation, I want to flip it a tiny bit. I would say what I'm seeing, and I want to like throw a caution flag at, is the growing celebrity culture of worship leaders. Mm-hmm. These movements of worship coming out of certain churches that are then like them like filling stadiums, and is it becoming more about that
idolizing
right than like the one to whom we are singing? Mm-hmm. That to me is a caution. So I think there's my thought just went to like when I was serving in mega church world, I served there for 6 or 7 years. And a lot of people didn't know my name, which was totally fine. And I'd be walking across, but they'd see me every week on these big like jumbotrons. And they'd be like, "You're the blonde girl. You're the blonde girl that sings." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm the blonde girl." They don't know my name, but like, I'm the blonde girl. And then my husband had like these epic long, like beautiful dreadlocks. And he would play bass. So like, I was known as the face and he was known as the hair. And it's like, we didn't know our name, but it was like, you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm grateful for that, because if it had become of like, "Oh, you're Becky Eikema," like that would have been, that would have felt, first of all, felt so weird. And like, God forbid my heart start to like that. Like, that feels dangerous to me. And I just would want to throw a caution flag to any church leaders listening or worship leaders, or, you know, like, check your spirit if you feel like there's any level of celebrity culture peeking into your platformed position.
Right.
Check your spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Your wisdom and everything that you brought to the table. And also listening to our venting.
but we're all in it together.
Yes. Where can everybody find you at?
Sure. So you can find me. My podcast is on all the platforms, Darling Confessions of a Former Megachurch Singer. You can find me at darlingthepodcast.com or Becky Eikema, which is Y-K-E-M, like mother, A.com as well. And I love sharing conversations with people. So please reach out. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you. Well, you can find me at ashley.reed. Since we've been talking about music, Ashley Reed Music. You can find us both at Uncommon Faith Podcast as well as uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Where can we find you, Amber?
At Amber_N_G on Instagram. I'm glad you took that role today. the mouthful.
Yes, it is a mouthful. And then once we add the TikTok, we'll be like, I like to have it, you know, clear all across the board if we can. But
it's awesome.
No,
it's great.
It's not a perfect world, but. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you again. Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was a joy. Yeah.
Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.